This is Sunday, February 13th, 2022. Our scriptures this week are Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10, and Luke 6, 12 through 26. Our message this week is a heart-to-heart conversation. So I welcome you today, and I ask you if you would please open your Bibles to Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. And follow along as I read. Jeremiah 17, starting at verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Our gospel reading today is from Luke 6, starting in verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Well, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and all the people who tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and just in case any of you men need something to panic about, just a friendly reminder for any procrastinators who might be here and reading or listening to my message today. Because tomorrow's big day reminded me of an article that came out last year about candy hearts. You know, those candy hearts that are bright pink and orange and yellow, and they have sappy sayings stamped onto them: "Kiss me," or "Hot stuff," "Be mine," etc. It said that the original candy hearts with sayings on them were first called conversation hearts. Today we know them as sweetheart candies. They were created in the 1860s, but by 2019, about 8 billion sweetheart candies were sold each year, with most of those sold in 6 weeks leading up to Valentine's Day. Anyway, they're original name, conversation hearts, combined with our scripture readings today, got me thinking that we needed to have a heart-to-heart conversation, hence the title of my message today. Well, I believe most people fall into three camps when it comes to Valentine's Day. There are the folks who love it, plan for it, and spend lots of money on it. And there are folks who shrug it off, just another day of the year. And finally, there are those who roll their eyes at it. They hate the idea of a made-up holiday that promotes romance and shopping. However, it's a shame that we don't celebrate love every day of the year. It's too easy to take our loved ones for granted. No matter which of the three camps you fall into, I hope you take some time every day to notice and appreciate the people who love you. I read another article that I thought was especially appropriate for Valentine's Day. And one of the most famous landmarks in the world is the statue of Jesus with outstretched arms that overlooks the city of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's called Christ the Redeemer, and it stands 125 feet tall. It has inspired many visitors to that city. And also in Brazil, there's an organization that is funding an even bigger statue of Jesus in their town, the Christ the Protector statue, and it will stand 141 feet tall, 16 feet taller than the statue in the capital city. One unique feature of the Christ the Protector statue is that there will be a lookout room with wide windows installed at about the height of Jesus' statue's heart. Did you catch that? Wide windows installed at about the height of Jesus' statue's heart. An elevator will transport tourists up to this spot so they can see views of the city below from Jesus' heart. Can you imagine what the view would be like from Jesus' heart? That's the goal of a Christian life, isn't it? To continually grow in our ability to view life through Jesus' heart. It changes our perspective entirely when we realize that the purpose of our life is not our own fulfillment and happiness. The purpose of life is to live as Jesus lived. That means sharing God's love with others. The purpose of our life is to do the good works God created us to do. The purpose of our life is to represent Jesus' character, mission, and message to the world. And you thought buying the right Valentine's present was difficult. Today's Bible passages are appropriate to Valentine's Day because both readings are, in their essence, a heart-to-heart conversation between God and the ones he loves. We understand that a heart-to-heart conversation is normally a confidential, intimate conversation, where two people are opening their hearts to each other. In fact, it often refers to a conversation in which one is warning or reproaching the other out of love and concern for their well-being. Jeremiah records for us a heart-to-heart conversation between God and his chosen people. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. 17:7. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. In 17:10. Because of God's love for his chosen people, he also warns them. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. In 17:5. And the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? In 17:9. And we see in the Gospel of Luke, if you read Luke 6:20-49, we find Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount that's found in Matthew's 5-7. Well, many scholars refer to this as the Sermon on the Plain. In the NIV, we read that it was the Sermon on a Level Place, perhaps a plateau, which would satisfy both this context and that in Matthew. Although the sermon is much shorter than the one in Matthew, they both begin with the Beatitudes and end with the lesson of the builders. But there are some differences. In Matthew, the Beatitudes serve as the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And there are 9 Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew. But in Luke, the Beatitudes are the preface to what is called the Sermon on the Plain, and there are only 4. Not only does Luke have less than half the Beatitudes than Matthew has, but Luke's Beatitudes are much more demanding. Matthew lists the Beatitudes, then he stops and goes on to something else. Luke lists the 4 Beatitudes, then he continues with 4 woes. Much like the reading in Jeremiah, Luke also gives us the warnings, which makes it more like a heart-to-heart conversation than a sermon. So as I prepare for today's heart-to-heart conversation, the readings from Jeremiah and Luke prompted me to ask, first and foremost, what is your view of God? Do you view him as the scowling judge waiting to convict you, the disapproving parent whose love you have to earn? Because your view of God's heart affects every decision and every relationship in your life. I'm reminded of the story told about a five-year-old child who approached her mother one day in the kitchen and asked, "Mom, is God a grown-up or a parent?" Well, her mom was a little puzzled by the question. "I'm not sure what you mean," she said. "Is there a difference between a grown-up and a parent?" "Oh, yes," her five-year-old answered quickly. "Grown-ups love you when you're good, and parents love you anyway." Well, I know this sounds trite to some of you, but have you ever really come to appreciate the wonder of God's unconditional love? I dare say that there are some people hearing or reading this who don't really believe in unconditional love. You have never received it, and you have never given it. And some of you are still trying to earn your way to heaven. And you are expecting others to earn their way as well. Well, in the gospel, according to Luke, we know that Jesus' teaching comes from a place of grace, pure, unmerited, unconditional love. Even his toughest teachings, the ones that make us squirm, the ones that offend us, the ones that challenge our worldview, come from a place of unconditional love. Jesus' words might seem challenging, even harsh in this passage, but what if we were to view these words through Jesus' heart? Would that change how we respond to them? Before we understand this passage, we need to look at who Jesus was speaking to. Verse 12 tells us that Jesus went out on the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. He was having a heart-to-heart conversation with his Father. And then when morning came, he called his disciples to him and had a heart-to-heart conversation with them and chose 12 of them and designated them as apostles. Then in verse 17, he tells us he went down with them and stood on a level place. So here, Jesus is teaching with the 12 apostles and a large crowd of his disciples who came along. And also there was a great number of people from all over Judea, and even from the Gentile towns of Tyre and Sidon. Well, Jesus, he was popular, and his ministry would be the envy of any pastor in our day, right up until the time they crucified him. Anyway, in the midst of all this excitement, Jesus turns and starts to have a heart-to-heart conversation directed, surprisingly, to his disciples, probably looking at the 12 he had just designated as apostles. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you when you weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when you people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Why do you think Jesus directed these words specifically towards his disciples? What did he want them and us to know? Well, today I would like to have a heart-to-heart conversation with all of you. I don't know if this Sermon on the Plain was recorded or written based on the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew, because some of Matthew's sermon is found in other portions of Luke, suggesting that the material may have been given on various occasions in Jesus' preaching. But let me suggest that the first thing Jesus was telling them was, don't judge your life by your current circumstances. Write that down. It's important. Don't judge your life by your current circumstances. Don't set your heart on the things of this world. That's not what you were made for. If you're healthy, wealthy, popular, and powerful now, good for you. But don't base your happiness, self-worth, or security on these things. Or perhaps you're poor, grieving, unpopular, or persecuted right now. God be with you. But don't base your attitude on your self-worth on these things. Your circumstances don't define you. Whether your circumstances drive you closer to God or further from God is what's important. Remember when Jesus had this heart-to-heart conversation with his disciples, Jesus' renown was growing. Crowds of people follow him wherever he goes. They hang on his every word. They go home and tell their friends and family about him. But Jesus didn't let this popularity go to his head. And he didn't want his disciples to think that following him was a great way to reap earthly rewards. In fact, the opposite was true. It's so easy to let good things in our life, good health, happy relationships, social acceptance, status symbols, they become a foundation for our attitude or our worldview, even our identity. But these pleasures, rather than drawing us closer to God, often drive us further from God. The second thing Jesus was telling them was, God is working in your most painful circumstances. That's the perspective we gain if we view our painful circumstances through Jesus' heart. If we search for what God is teaching us in our circumstances, if we rely on God's power to sustain us in our circumstances, if we open ourselves up to receiving God's mercy in our most painful times, like a beggar holding out his hands, you know, then we will eventually see God at work in our most painful circumstances. John Irvin, the best-selling author and screenwriter, begins every new novel by writing the last line of the book first. And once he has captured the last line of the book, he is ready to begin telling the story, because he already knows the ending. He is fully in control of the rest of the story. Well, that's the secret Jesus tried to teach his disciples. He already knows the ending of the story. He already knows that he will die to reconcile us to God and give us eternal life. He already knows that God has a kingdom prepared for those who love him. And he already knows that every painful circumstance we face in this life can be used to draw us closer to God's heart and God's will and God's purposes, if we only let it. That's the second thing Jesus was telling us in this passage. And the final thing Jesus was telling them was to find their fulfillment, their happiness, their purpose in living for him. There are many ways and places in this world you can seek fulfillment and purpose, but there's only one place you can truly find it. Do you remember that old gospel song that's titled, "This World Is Not My Home"? Well, if we view the world through Jesus' heart, the world is not your home. You are made for eternal life with God, living in a world ruled by God's values and God's priorities. Think now, what happens when worlds collide? What happens when you live the values and the priorities of God's world in this world? You won't fit in. Your habits and your lifestyle will look different to your family and to your friends and to your neighbors, and people will question you and perhaps talk about you, even reject you. Well, the disciples didn't know it yet, but Jesus was calling them to make the ultimate sacrifice, to eventually die for the sake of following him. And he is calling us to do the same. Even if we never lay down our lives for Jesus, we are called to sacrifice our own priorities and values and will and replace him with the priorities and the values of the will of God. We can find happiness in chasing success, health, wealth, status, comfort, security, but we will never find fulfillment or our God-given purpose in those things. For God made us to find our purpose, our life, in living for him. It's not going to be easy. Jesus was very clear about that. So don't set your heart on the things of the world. Set your heart on knowing God and living in God's will. And you will discover the life that God made you for, a life that is both abundant and eternal in its blessings. So have you ever had a heart-to-heart conversation with God? For his love for you is unconditional. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, that you might have eternal life. Here's a few verses of scripture to help you in your heart-to-heart conversation with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's John 3:16-18. Or maybe this one you need. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.